With everything that's going on in society with the pandemic and recently the snow and ice and everybody being locked down for at least a week recently, I think everyone is familiar with anxiety. And it's a problem that is of epidemic proportions. And yet, as prevalent as it is, anxiety or worry is one of the most counterproductive things we can do or have in our lives. Worry is like a rocking chair in that it will give you something to do, but you won't get anywhere. And worry is a fast getaway on a wooden horse, as some would say. So how is the Christian to approach the problem of worry? And what can we do with it? What can we do about worry? So first, let's understand the problem. What is anxiety? Anxiety is distress about future uncertainties. Worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow when tomorrow hasn't even gotten here yet. It's characterized by mental agitation and uneasiness. And it could be mild or severe in different individuals. It primarily has to do with what may happen in the future, either near or distant. What causes anxiety? Anxiety is caused by real or imagined threats to our well-being. We feel vulnerable and inadequately protected against these threats that haven't even happened yet and may never happen. Threats such as social rejection, physical injury or disease, poverty, death, and a wide range of other threats. Anxiety has three main elements. Insecurity is the first one. Something bad is going to happen. I just know it. And the second element is helplessness. There's nothing I can do about it. And the third is isolation, that no one is going to help me. These causes can operate individually or in combination with each other in various combinations. Emotionally, they cause just as much anxiety as if they are imagined and if they were real. Anxiety is a form of fear, and it must be recognized as such. With an understanding of the problem, then we can go to overcoming the problem. And I'll just be honest with you, I don't have much problem with anxiety. The most anxious that I have felt here recently is filling out my income taxes for the first time as a self-employed individual. But I do know that people suffer from anxiety, and these suggestions that I'm going to give you may be oversimplifying the situation for some. But sometimes the most simple method is the easiest and best way to overcome problems. So the first thing I want to suggest in overcoming the problem of anxiety is trusting in God. The best remedy is to deal with the problem's causes and not just its symptoms. What is the truth about insecurity, helplessness, and isolation in regard to the Christian? The Christian may feel insecure, but the reality is that he is very secure. The Bible tells us that we are secure as long as we are faithful to God. Proverbs 3, verses 21 through 26. Hebrews 4 and verse 16. And while the Christian may feel helpless, the reality is that he has a great deal of help. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Psalm 27 and verse 5. And while the Christian may feel isolated, the reality is that he always has God at his side. The 23rd Psalm is an excellent passage to read. Matthew 28 and verse 20, Jesus said, "I am with you always." The remedy for anxiety is complete trust and confidence in God's ability to deal with anything that threatens us. The more we learn about God, the more we know of His infinite power and His concern for us. The avenue of prayer is open to Christians to request God's help. God has promised a peace of mind to those who are willing to commit their anxieties to Him. John 16, verse 33, Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, and 1 Peter 4, verse 19. So the practical steps that are involved in trying to overcome anxiety are, first, we need to read the Bible. We need to read the Word of God. We have to commit ourselves to God's safekeeping. And that requires that we grow in our knowledge of God and in our love for Him. So, the most important thing we can do is study the Scriptures, pray, and meditate on God's promises that He's made to His people when they are faithful, Romans 15 and verse 4. A second practical step is not only read the Bible, but be realistic. A peace of mind that does not depend on solving all the problems. You can't fix everything. A peace of mind that is not righting all the wrongs and removing all the imperfections or getting all that we want. Solomon, in all of his riches and wisdom, couldn't find the meaning of life. Read Ecclesiastes, and especially chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. And some things are not going to be changed, and we need to be realistic enough to accept that. There are problems that just have no solutions. And there are situations that we simply just have to live through. And then the art of being wise is the art of knowing what to overlook. Proverbs 19 and verse 11. Realistic knowledge of our own limitations ought to cause us to relax and slow down. If I know I can't fix it, then all I need to do is slow down and realize that. Besides, the noble art of getting things done is the noble art of leaving things undone. The wisdom of life consists in the elimination of non-essentials. We have to learn to let go of some problems and allow God to be in charge of those problems. One of my favorite passages is Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 7. And in it, it implies that we need to allow God to take care of things. We need to put our trust in Him. A third practical step is we need to be flexible. Change is inevitable. We will have to be resilient, adaptable, and adjustable. And when we're under stress, if we can't bend, then we will surely break. And our faith must be in God who doesn't change. And there are going to be some changes we ought to resist without compromise. And wisdom can tell us when to change and when to hold our ground. And a fourth step is that we need to focus on the good cares and minimize the unnecessary cares. In the Bible, cares can be good or bad. The good are mentioned in passages like 1 Corinthians 12, 2 Corinthians 11, Philippians chapter 2. The bad cares are mentioned in passages like Matthew 13, Philippians 4 and verse 6, and 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. And we tend to become distracted by many relatively unimportant cares. The things that really don't matter and don't care enough about the things that we really ought to be caring about. When the mind is distracted by so many pursuits, it derives but little benefit from any of them. And really only one thing is necessary, and that's believing and trusting in God. A fifth step is that we need to learn to live one day at a time. Proper use of today diminishes the anxiety that we have about tomorrow. That's what Jesus spoke of in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6 and verse 34. Anxiety doesn't empty tomorrow of its worries and sorrows. It only empties today of its strengths. And worry is the interest paid on trouble before it comes due. Many, if not most people, when we have our fears, they turn out to be unfounded. Winston Churchill said on his deathbed that he had a lot of trouble in his life, most of which never happened. Another man said, in headaches and in worry, vaguely life leaks away, and time will have his fancy tomorrow or today. A sixth step is we need to stay busy. Anxiety and idleness go hand in hand. You know, despair is a form of laziness, and the person is blessed who is really too busy to worry in the daytime and too sleepy at night to worry about those things. And a lot of good can be accomplished even in adverse circumstances if we will quit concentrating on what cannot be done and focus and do what can be done. Don't waste time in doubts and fears. This comes from Ralph Waldo Emerson. Don't waste time in doubts and fears. Spend yourself in the work before you, well assured that the right performance of this hour's duties will be the best preparation for the hours or the ages that follow it. Then we need to learn contentment. That's a lesson from Paul in Philippians 4 and verses 11 through 13. He says, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned that whatever state I am in, to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." We need to be able to rejoice in the Lord. And we can do that if we continually count our blessings. The Christian ought to be able to see the silver lining in the darkest of clouds. The Hebrew writer tells us in chapter 13, in verses 5 and 6, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" You know, anxiety comes from having too much rather than too little. That's what the great preacher Solomon decided in Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 12. And our wealth depends not so much on what we have as what we can do without. And when a problem of anxiety produces itself within our lives, the very best thing we can do is bathe not in the problem of the two things, but have reverence and gratitude. The Christian is given the means to deal with anxiety. Peace comes through prayer. Again, Paul says in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts through Christ Jesus." And we can have a reassuring confidence from trusting in God. That's what David had in mind when he recorded the 23rd Psalm for us. We won't take the time to read that, but I encourage you to take your Bibles and read the 23rd Psalm. It talks about comfort and trust in God. And whenever the feelings of insecurity and helplessness and isolation produce anxiety in our lives, let me suggest that we focus on putting our trust in God. We need to read the Bible, be realistic, be flexible, and focus on the good cares, the good things in our lives, and minimize those things that are unnecessary. We need to read that Bible. Need to learn to live one day at a time, stay busy, and learn contentment. I want to thank you for being with me today. Again, you may not agree with this lesson. You may disagree completely. You may be one that's struggling with anxiety, and you may think I have missed the mark completely. If you'd like to discuss this with me or any other lesson, you can look me up on Facebook, or you can visit with us at the Eastside Church of Christ. We'll assemble this morning at 10 a.m. for worship service, and again this evening at 5 p.m. You can also look us up at Church of Christ Eastside. Let me get it right. Church@eastside.com is our website, and you can go there and listen to this lesson again or any other lessons. Again, thank you for being with us today.